This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show Series 5, Episode 11, Carving Out a Niche. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we help a leg spinner carve out a niche for himself in a side with a captain who doesn't like spin bowlers, and we help a batsman in India deal with short balls that don't get above knee height. All that, and we talk about new Google smartwatch. How can it help you cricket? All that and more coming up on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome to another Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. It's one with technical difficulties already because my internet connection is not working very well, and we're literally using smoke and mirrors to make it work this week. And a couple of magicians alongside me on the show this week to help out with that. My name, of course, is David Hinchliffe, and joining me from Millfield School, the director of cricket coaching there, it's Mark Garraway. How are you, Garris?
I'm very well. I'm in the staff room. There's cups and of tea being made, and so you'll get to hear a bit about that today, I should imagine.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, keep a brew for me because I've just put one out. And yeah, that laughter that you hear, of course, is from our new regular, Sam Lavery. Welcome to the show, Lavis.
Morning. How are we?
Very well. You're going to have to get out of the habit of saying morning because people listen to this at all kinds of times.
Oh, sorry. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and again, good night, in the words of Jim Carrey and whatever the film was called.
And the man who's holding this all together this week, he's jumped in at the last minute. He's hosting the entire thing, and he's making sure that everything is being recorded in absolute crystal clear audio. It's Berners. Hello, Berners.
Good day to you all. Man of many talents. I've also once enjoyed a cup of tea in the Millfield staff room, and it's pretty decent.
Thanks, mate.
There's usually a beer on offer in the Millfield staff room, actually.
That's upstairs, mate.
And or you're the heading, heading that way afterwards, are you, Garris?
Not quite. I've got some things to do this afternoon, but certainly by the end of term, I'll be ready for one.
Well, speaking of things, there's been an announcement this week, a technology announcement this week, and it got me thinking, who better to ask than the panel about the interaction between technology and cricket? And that thing that's come out is the Google smartwatch, the Android Wear, as it's called, and it's it looks like a watch, it acts like a watch, it's even got old-fashioned analog hands on it. There's one from Motorola, but it's a smartwatch, so it throws up all kinds of data to you whenever you want it, and you can find out things by talking to it. And it's an interesting concept in the world of technology where things are just getting smaller and more wearable. I mean, I thought you couldn't get a more portable device than the phone, but turns out you can. So I was thinking, if a cricket captain throws one of these on his wrist and heads out to the middle, what kind of things could we do with it? So what data could and should be going out to cricketers? Should there be any at all, Garris?
Oh, it's a good question. We've talked about this before, about the earpieces, haven't we? And yeah. I think really the job of a coach is to prepare the team. It's not really to impact upon the game. And I might be being a bit too sort of traditional on that, really. But that's what the captain is all about, isn't it? It's the captain's interpretation of things out in the middle, which is the crucial element. So I'd probably be against it, actually. I love technology, as you know, but I think there's also the sanctity of the game that we need to protect. So yeah, I'd say no on that one.
So you would have nothing at all?
Well, I think you do that in preparation, and that's what, you know, I've written an article this week that I know you've received, which is about your preparation before you get across that white line, so people know what's likely to happen and they're planned to a certain extent. But ultimately, it comes down to the player's ability to adapt from that initial plan, and that's the game, isn't it? And that's why I think so many people watch it, love it, and play it.
I think you've definitely got a point there, Garris. I still think there's some possible applications that could be used for it. The thing that we were talking about before the start of the show was to have be able to have the Duckworth-Lewis calculation on your wrist at any time and be able to know what difference adding a wicket or two would make to the game situation and have a quicker way to understand what the game situation is. What about you, Lavers? Are you in agreement with Gareth about keeping the game as the game and keeping the data for between matches?
Well, first of all, I think there are loads of uses of it, and there are loads of ways it could be used, and it could be beneficial. But whether or not that changes the game completely, and if that changes international cricket from first class cricket, and then first class cricket is maybe a different level from club cricket, and as we spoke about off the air, it becomes a bit of a quest for who has the best technology rather than who the best cricketers are. And the sooner the people can transfer information from the side to the middle, the better the information is, then the better the outcome of the game. And maybe that's not what cricket's all about. And as I suggested when we were talking off the air, it becomes more like a game of baseball where every single delivery is decided by someone off the field. And it's just done play by play. And the people on the field, they're purely there for a physical role, and their mental job becomes almost extinct, really. So I think there are a number of ways it could be employed which would be incredibly useful and exciting to see. But I probably am with Gareth in saying that it would be nice to let the cricketers do all the work on the field and all the coaches do their work off the field to a degree or from the sidelines. And with it coming in, it may change the laws or change the rulings of how we monitor communication from the sideline to the middle. Clearly, people can walk around the boundary and people can talk to their bowlers, or you often see the fitness coach or the bowling coach having a word with someone down at fine leg about certain things, and some of that will be to do with their physical shape, and some of that will be to do with tactics for the game, and some of that will be to do with nothing at all that's relevant to the game. So does that then get outlawed as well, and do we get to a stage where there's no communication? It's
a minefield.
It's gonna develop an interesting subject area of what can and cannot be said and when. So it's exciting technology and it's incredible that it can be done, as you said at the start, but how it's going to be applied is going to be difficult, and it's going to be one for the rulemakers, I think, or the lawmakers.
It'd be interesting to say, for example, a card pops up when a bowler when a bowler comes on to say how many overs he's got left of his spell before he has to be changed, something like that. Or
I think there's so far you can go. I mean, if we wanted to, you could say you could have an opening bowler coming back for the last over of a 2020, and instantly on the watch it could flash up that in his last 15 games he's opened up the last over with 60% Yorkers, 30% bumpers, and 10% length balls, which gives you a bit of information about what his go-to option might be, and that could be the same for bowlers against batters or in any circumstances, really. So there's exciting or potentially really useful information that could be transferred there, but whether or not that would be allowed is a different thing.
Yeah. And then the question, I guess, becomes, is it the difference between telling somebody what to do and giving someone more information that they can make a more informed decision, or is it just something where the game should be kept purely for however the player's mind can deal with that, the information that they've got from the preparation part of the game, and if they forget about that at the end of the game, they get on with it, and that's that, and they can't fall back to a watch.
Go on.
I was just going to say it could be interesting after the game. You put the watch in the middle of the changing room and it'll jump on it or something. You'd finally have something to blame that wasn't one of the other players.
Yeah, that watch told me he was going to bowl a Yorker.
Exactly.
Okay, let's wrap it up with a yes-no round three questions that Berners is chomping at the bit to ask. And the team can only answer yes or no, no matter how much more that they want to say. So, Berners, what have you got in store for us this week?
The first question this week is, fast bowling training is stress management.
Yes.
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 Second question, play is one of the most underrated aspects of performance.
Yes.
No. Yes.
Third question. The Yorker is the hardest ball to play.
No.
No.
Yes. Okay, after that chaotic round, it's time for a little bit more order. And that means the questions, the mailbag questions sent in from the listeners to the show and the readers to the Pitch Vision Academy pages. And the best one of those questions, of course, wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can head over to pitchvision.com/academy to find out more about those coaching courses and the newsletters and the videos and all the rest of it that goes along with it. But let's head to the questions. And so we've got a couple that have been sent in already. Berners is hanging on to those. Berners, what's the first one?
First question's in from Vedant. And his question is that he plays in India. And he's saying that the short pitch balls over there and their conditions don't bounce at all. So it makes it very difficult to play. His height is 5'8". So he's not the biggest guy, but he's not the shortest either. So he's just wondering if we can give him some tips on playing short pitch balls that don't bounce.
Okay, well, having been out in India a lot of time and seen a lot of very fine Indian players and other subcontinent players play in those type of conditions, you'll see that over in the subcontinent, you'll tend to see people play with straighter batted back foot shots rather than cross batted back foot shots, purely because of the heights that the ball reaches the batter. So you look at Tendulkar, he has got a pull shot, but it's very much a one day shot or reserved for when he's playing in bouncier conditions, when he goes away from home. And that's very similar to a number of the Indian batters. And the same thing applies, particularly in Pakistan, where the ball skids a lot in Pakistan. It doesn't spend a lot of time on the pitch and goes through at sort of top of the stump height through to chest height, really, rather than at your head on a regular basis. So again, it's straighter batted shots, and you'll see the Indian players playing by flicking the ball off of their hip a lot more often than, say, England players when they're at home, where the ball tends to bounce a little bit more up into the chest and the chin region. So to me, back foot play over there is more geared towards presenting a fuller face of a bat rather than cross batted shots. You still have to develop them, but they will be few and further between than, say, if you were brought up in South Africa, Australia, or even England.
And that's then when judgment starts to come in on how you deal with the ball. You don't necessarily, if it's a shorter ball, you don't necessarily look to pull it. You look to play straighter, and that's where your judgment comes in of playing on those wickets. And that's, I guess, why guys who have played on those wickets for longer times are better at that, because they get more used to it.
It's all about exposure, isn't it? And the amount of time that you've been exposed to those conditions. And that's what makes travelling around the world and playing cricket a really advantageous thing for any young cricketer. And because they have to adapt. And generally, the best players in the world, the ones that have got great test records that go all around the world, not just when they play at home, are the guys that learn these things whilst they're on tour or in preparation from tour based on their own experience or other people's experience. And you know, so a Ricky Ponting, who is a fantastic hooker and puller of the ball, still could play successfully in the subcontinent just by adjusting his game, because he prepares properly for that and adapts accordingly. And that's why Test cricket is Test cricket to me, is because we have to constantly adapt.
I love it when it's like that, when you can just go on the back foot and it comes up about knee height, you just slap it wherever you bloody want.
Yeah, and you know, there was a guy, wasn't there, called Vinod Kambli. Can you remember him? The guy that put on all those runs with Sachin all those years ago, and then had a phenomenal couple of years playing international cricket. And that's exactly how he used to do it. And somebody like Lakshman, great player, particularly when the ball was under chin height, who would was brought up in those conditions and would rock back, transfer his weight, and just ping you back foot through cover or back foot through mid-wicket playing those shots. And that's the sort of thing that if you're brought up in those areas of the world, then that has to be your staple diet. You still have to practice the bouncer, and because occasionally you will come across a pitch that does that. But actually, it's really important that you get the staple diet right, and then add the sort of, the cream topping on top.
Quite nice just to flat bat it straight as well, because you've got a bit, you can get on top of it and just hit it straight back at him.
You're now showing off, Berners.
Okay,
Best put straight the cricket ball, straight back at work, you know, there's no one ever behind the umpire.
There was in the 2020 the other day, wasn't there?
There was, yeah, yeah. There was.
Put someone behind the umpire. So that's not true anymore. Maybe not at the level we play, Berners.
I don't think you're allowed to put someone there.
Well, something not directly behind the bowler's arm, I guess. Go on then, Berners, what's next?
Next question comes in from Ryan. He's saying he's a young leg spin bowler. When at training, he often tosses the ball up and he gets smashed. Oh, story of my life. And a lot of training consists of nets and centre wickets, but mainly centre wicket. And although in games, when he's saying that he bowls, he doesn't get hit quite as much. The captain is always very annoyed at training and won't bowl him as much as a byproduct of getting smashed around during nets. So the days I get smashed, the days I don't turn the ball much, but on a day I turn the ball square and the batter usually has trouble batting. So he's saying, what should he do to get more of a bowl in games? And what should he focus on more? Turning the ball, which means that he often drops it short and probably bowls it a little bit quicker, or tossing the ball up and trying to get it to turn. And he then goes on to add, should the focus then be line and length with those variants? So he sounds like he's a leg spinner that's got a few problems that most of them often do, and he's just trying to focus on a couple of key aspects of the delivery.
Well, he's definitely thought about it in a lot of detail, hasn't he, Gareth? But it's a common question, especially the one where the spin bowler gets smashed all over the shop during practice because it feels like easy pickings. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you get out caught on the boundary, you're still going to be okay in nets. So apart from changing the culture of nets, what does a leggy do if he's getting smashed all over the place and the captain is looking distinctly unimpressed?
Well, I think without changing the culture, it's going to be a problem, to be brutally honest with you. And it's interesting that, that would always be my starting point. I would have a conversation with the captain and see if those middle practices that he talks about can actually be middle practices with fielders. Because, you know, if you haven't got fielders in place in middle practices, often it becomes just a glorified net where people have a bit of a dip at any leg spinner and, you know, oh, that's gone into a gap and that's gone into a gap. As soon as you put fielders in place and say the captain hits a long hop down deep square's throat or deep mid-wicket's throat, then it becomes a wicket. And through that experience, the captain and the other players around will start to see the merits of having a leg spinner who turns a ball big, which it sounds like in this case does happen. And so I think you have to change the culture. I think it's very difficult for him to change other people's opinions unless he starts going away from his strengths, and his strengths being, by the sound of things, he's got the ability to spin the ball. So to me, it's got to be a cultural thing. And how does a bowler start that? Well, he has some conversations and says, why don't this week we try having some fielders out there so we're simulating exactly what we get out in the middle. He doesn't need to talk about the benefit that's going to give him in terms of people taking catches off him, but it would be a realistic situation for him to put his case forward to the captain.
And then the second question, he talks about what he needs to focus on and whether it's, you know, throwing it up or line and length, and he's thinking about all these different aspects. I think when you're out in the middle, you get your plan and you do as much as you can to stick to that plan rather than try and think about lots of things going on at the same time, and maybe that's the cause of a bit of confusion in his mind.
Yeah, I agree. And look, to me, if you were playing for me and I was being a bit stubborn about you, one of the things that I'm very keen on is getting wickets, and that's what a leg spinner is there to do for me. You know, I've got plenty of bowlers that can run up and bowl it on the spot that don't have the capacity to turn their wrist over and make the ball do funny things. I'd encourage you to keep trying to spin the ball as big as possible. Now, interestingly, in your question, it sounds to me as if you're either confused or you've got the capacity, which I hope it's the second, about which one brings you more spin, whether it's you bowling it faster or whether it's you bowling it slower. If you've got the capacity to do both, and just focus on getting the ball to spin as big as possible, because that deception that you create through the air off the pitch will give you opportunity to get wickets. And that's why you're a leg spinner, and that's why you're an exciting prospect for any captain. You just need to find a way of proving to that captain that the long hop that you occasionally bowl, or the one that somebody slogs back over the top, does end up in somebody's hands rather than everybody just applauding the fact that the ball's gone high and wide.
Yeah, it's definitely, you definitely need to adopt the leg spinner attitude of thinking, well, if someone tries to hit me, then that's an opportunity for me to get a wicket, because there's every chance they're going to be caught on the boundary, because there's only a certain number of places they're going to hit that ball.
Yeah.
And as long as I know my field, and as long as I know the way that batsman bats, and that's quite quick to establish that, then chances are you're going to win that battle. And if you get hit for two boundaries and then get a wicket, well done, your bowling average is 8.
Exactly right, mate. Exactly right. And look, I think also ask the question, what are you looking for? What's the captain looking for? So go up to the captain and say, you know, I'm obviously a leg spinner. What do you want me to do for you? And if he turns around and says, oh, I want you to bowl 6 dot balls and over by throwing it through as fast as you can, then you can have a conversation about the fact, well, that isn't my skill. My skill and the thing I enjoy is doing this. And I actually believe that I can be a useful person within this team if I'm doing this against the other guys that are doing that, you know. And yeah, it's all about balance, isn't it? And a leg spinner to me creates opportunities rather than restricts.
Always a perilous job being a spin bowler in that situation. The batsmen never get out.
Oh yeah, yeah. They loved it. They, you know, the eyes light up, don't they? And it's the opportunity to practice their death hitting. In inverted commas.
When I was a young lad, I used to play with a terrific left-arm spinner called Vinod Chowan, who played for Devon for a number of years, low left-armer. And he used to play at a ground called Exmouth, which is very, very long, straight, and he used to have a deep mid-off and a deep mid-on. And when they used to hit him for 6, he used to say, well, it was a, you know, mighty good hit to do that, so it was a good shot. And he'd always go with the attitude of the next delivery after that, he would toss it up even higher, even slower. And say, there you go, try and hit that one again, rather than the typical approach of trying to angle it in a little bit quicker and maybe change your line, which probably is going to go wrong again. And the success he had from it was just unreal, you know, happily getting wicket after wicket with the guy just hitting it straight up in the air. And because he knew his job, as Gareth said, and he knew his role was to maybe, you know, go for a few to get a few.
Yep, and it's a matter of talking the captain round to that way of thinking as well. Maybe compromising here and there, but finding a way that you can both live with. It can be difficult, especially if a captain is good at playing spin, and he doesn't rate spin bowling very much in general. Then it's an uphill battle. But if you can get in his mind that the spin bowler can do things that the medium pace seamer who just moves it off the pitch a little bit can't do. Both bowlers have a role, but there's things that one can do the other one can't, and then you can carve out a niche for yourself that nobody else can fill, especially if you can turn it, because there's not a lot of spinners out there who can turn it with accuracy, and that's a big advantage.
Yeah.
Also, a good captain thinking that, you know, that bowler's got to be bowling those deliveries at the right time in the game. If he's bowling him in a pressurized situation with a leg spinner he's not quite sure about, it's not the bowler's fault, it's the captain's fault, isn't it? So he can go back to his captain and say, look, this is my skill set, this is what I do, it's down to you to now utilise me at the right time.
Yeah.
Those are all good conversations to have, aren't they? And it's sometimes a bit daunting for the bowler to initiate those. But, you know, if you can find a little quiet time with the captain, or maybe get to bowl at him in a centre wicket practice where you do get him out a couple of times, that's a good time to have that conversation. You know, if you just bowled like an absolute plank in the nets and he's caned you everywhere and wouldn't have got out, then it's not a good time to have a conversation. So timing for intervention is everything in my book, and I'm sure that you'll find an appropriate time to have the right conversation.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing that I was going to say, is if you're carving out a niche for yourself, you have to be pretty sure of yourself that you can do that job as to a high enough standard that it's going to be satisfactory to the captain, because it's no good trying to carve out a niche for yourself and then bowling a load of long hops and half volleys. So you have to put the work in as well.
it's that time of the show when we're going to have the soapbox. And this week in the chair, it's Honourable Coach. Coach, you got 1 minute. Let's go.
Well, I should be complaining about the internet service provider that promised me that I'd have my service by now, and it's still several days away from getting it, but I'm not going to complain about that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try and do something positive. I'm going to say to people that occasionally, when we make a list of things that we want to do, and this includes anything to do with improving our cricket, sometimes we make a great long list and then we never get round to doing any of it because it's just a big pile of stuff. And sometimes what you need to do is think in a little bit more detail about how you organise that into something that can trick you into getting that stuff done. So, for example, taking a step back from the day-to-day grind of those individual things that you want to do and start looking at a higher end, your goals, your aspirations, and maybe even the projects, the big projects. Take some time, once a week perhaps, to review those. And if you review those things regularly, then you're going to be a more efficient and a more productive person and a better cricketer. And that, unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately if you didn't enjoy it, but unfortunately for me, is the end of the show. We've come towards our half an hour, so it's time to say goodbye to everyone. But before we go, we've just got a couple of little things that we need to sort out. Of course, the first of those is to decide on the winner of this week's competition. The prize, which is an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And we had a couple of great questions. Vedant's question about playing short balls that don't bounce, and Ryan's question about a spin bowler that gets smashed around all over the place and he doesn't know what to do. So, Gareth, which question did you prefer this week?
I'm looking at Ryan's question there. I thought it gave us some good detail, and also we got through spinning it big into when's a good time to have a conversation with a captain, and I'm sure, Ryan, with some of those tips that you'll find a way to get in the captain's ear and to effect a change that gives you a much better role within the game of cricket.
And congratulations to you. You'll be getting your online coaching course, your selection of an online coaching course, coming to you very shortly. Now, Berners, if someone wanted to get in touch with the show, they decided, yeah, I've got a question, I want it answered, and more important than that, I want my coaching course, my coaching videos, my hit of Kevin Peterson or Nathan Bracken or Michael Bevan or one of the many, many other coaches we've got there. What would they need to do to get in touch with the show and win all that amazing stuff?
They can give us a call. The number here is 020-323-97543, or drop us an email, and the address is coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. You can use social media to get hold of us as well. We use Twitter quite a lot at PitchVisionAcad, and I run that, so you'll be getting in touch with me directly there. And I'm sure you can find the other guys over on the Twitter there as well. We also have a Facebook page, and there's a lot going on there every day. Lots of videos and articles and things being posted on there. So if you're into Facebook, head over to facebook.com/PitchVisionAcademy, and you can also post your question there privately or publicly, completely up to you. If you want to listen to this show every week, and why wouldn't you? It's fantastic. Then you can head over to iTunes and subscribe in the usual way. Just do a search for us, click on the subscribe button, and you'll get us every week. And if you want to use any other type of podcatching program on your Android device, on your Windows PC, whatever else you've got there, then head over to pitchvision.com/academy, click on the podcast link, and you can find all the details for using the RSS feed to subscribe in there. That's all for this week. I hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers. Cheers, Berners.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Cheers, all. Good show.